Good morning, everybody. Thinking about life in general, I find as I get older that I tend to live life on a fairly even keel, like a ship, if you like, gently swaying a little from side to side, but moving forwards without too much seasickness. See, my outlook on life is that God is good, I am his child, and therefore everything is going to work out well in the end, whatever happens. If you've seen that film, The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, you might remember that one of the sayings of the main character was, everything is going to be all right in the end, and if things are not working out well, it is not yet the end. And I'm not too sure if that's a particularly comforting thought, but my point here is that generally, I find that I'm neither depressed nor ecstatic, just basically happy with my lot and getting on with life and work and family and other responsibilities. But I have a real sympathy for those who do experience life as a stormy sea, to continue the shipping metaphor, if you like. One day they feel great and are praising and thanking the Lord for their many blessings, and the next day they're deeply depressed and questioning the meaning of life and their existence. And that must be so sickening and disheartening, with the boat lurching heavily from one side to another. Occasionally, not very often, to be honest, I can get quite discouraged. And it's usually as a result of a combination of factors. Very recently, against a background of difficulties in my work and the effects of COVID on my business and feeling a little run down physically, the mood began to hit me. And I was already feeling at a low ebb when, with perfect timing, someone said something very critical to me, which really threatened to sink my ship. A spirit of heaviness descended on me, and this spirit of heaviness persisted for about 3 days. Now, one of the advantages of having a wife is that I can dump all of my angst on her just to make sure that it's not just me, but we're both feeling bad about things. You see, sometimes a problem shared is a problem doubled. However, in this instance, Gail was very supportive and concerned. I was sitting at my desk when she came into the room and said that we really should pray about the situation. To be honest, I felt I was too downhearted to pray right at that moment, so I asked her to pray, which she did. I found her prayer hugely encouraging, along with the sense of being in this together, with the Lord as our rock and our refuge. That really came home to me, and the depression gradually began to lift. A little while later in the day, she came into the room I use as an office again, and she said that she'd been praying and that she felt the Lord wanted me to concentrate on Psalm 23. That night, during the night, I sort of woke up about 3 o'clock or so with Psalm 23 going through my head. I couldn't quite remember the words as they appear in the scriptures, but I could remember them all from the 5 verses of the hymn that we sing, and that helped me to remember them in the correct order, just as they appear in the Bible. So I just want to read the psalm to you now. This is what I'm talking about this morning. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, for those of you that have read through the Psalms, you'll be aware that many of David's Psalms had been full of complaints. But this one is full of comfort and delight in God's goodness. And this particular psalm has been sung by Christians and Jews around the world for thousands of years. Jews sing it during the service on Shabbat evening, and traditionally sing it during the third meal of the Sabbath as well. You see, in the previous psalm, Psalm 22, David has spoken of Christ, the coming Messiah, who would suffer and lay down his life for the sheep, but with future glory to follow. And interestingly, this shepherd metaphor is directly relevant to David because David himself had been a shepherd. And there are three points that he makes in this psalm with three comforting conclusions. First of all, he knew how much of an advantage it was to the sheep to have a kind and caring and courageous shepherd. He'd even risked his life for a lamb at one point. Secondly, he knows, because of his own attitude towards the sheep, that he doesn't need to fear any danger in the greatest difficulties, as he has God's presence with him all the time. God leads him by his Spirit. Death can do us no harm because it cannot separate us from the love of God. The Good Shepherd is going to lead us through that particular valley. And thirdly, he knows that God is constantly and forever merciful to him and provides everything he's going to need in this life and in the next. He has prepared a table that's a table of good things that we need, very thoughtfully, because he knows us intimately. And David's response to this realization, this revelation, if you like, is to return a warm devotion to God, which filled his soul with unspeakable joy. Now, we're not sure when this psalm was written, whether it was before he became king or after, but whichever it was certainly written at a time in human history when the most atrocious things were happening, when love, grace, and mercy were in short supply, and where you had to keep looking behind you to be sure that you were safe from your enemies in the other tribes surrounding you who hated you, and from the evil intentions of your own people. For those of us who've lived through a period of relative peace, and I guess that's more or less all of us, we've not experienced directly the atrocities of war, other than indirectly via TV, newspaper, and social media reports. It's difficult for us to imagine living life with such an imminent sense of danger. But when you read the Psalms of David, you realize that he lived in this kind of environment much of the time, this threatening environment where even the members of his own household couldn't be trusted. So how wonderful, therefore, to be able to say with total conviction that you belong to the Lord and that he is your provider and your protector, and that whatever comes your way, you will not be afraid because you have absolute trust that the Good Shepherd will bless, protect, and ultimately take you to live with him as a member of his household. What an amazing revelation David had of the goodness of God. David himself was a seriously flawed person who had committed some pretty heinous crimes. Yet he loved God. He prayed to the Lord morning, noon, and evening. He completely trusted God and obeyed the Lord in all things. And God described him to Samuel, the priest and prophet, as a man after his own heart. And what an incredible description of a human being that is. Someone whose life and thoughts and actions are in step with the very heart of God. And we read that comment about David from the Lord in 1 Samuel chapter 13, where Saul, the king, has overstepped his authority by offering a sacrifice to God because of his fear of the surrounding Philistine army and the delay in Samuel's arrival. God didn't accept Saul's offering because Saul, as the king, had usurped the position and function of the priest. And the consequences of Saul's disobedience to God, because God had told him not to do this, were catastrophic for him. Here it is set out in 1 Samuel chapter 13. And the Philistines mustered to fight with Israel 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and troops, like the sand on the seashore in multitude. They came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in trouble, because the people were really hard pressed, they hid themselves in caves and in holes and in rocks and in tombs and in cisterns. And some Hebrews crossed the fords of the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul was still at Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. He waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, "Bring the burnt offering here to me and the peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he'd finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel arrived. And Saul went out to meet him and greet him. Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, I said, 'Now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favour of the Lord.' So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God, with which he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." You see, Samuel had a better understanding of the place of sacrificing to God within the hierarchy of things which are important to God. Later on in 1 Samuel chapter 15, he says, "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices than in obedience to his voice? Obedience is better than sacrifice." Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and follow me." Are we hearing the voice of God? Are we responding in obedience to that still small voice of his Holy Spirit within our hearts? Or are we being tossed to and fro, again like a ship on a stormy sea, to continue that metaphor, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine? When you're feeling a heaviness of spirit, remember that Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Here Jesus is identifying himself as the good shepherd that David spoke of. And he wants us to rest in his love. Because of his love and care for us, he will provide everything that we need. That's everything that's good for us. He doesn't want us to be anxious or depressed about anything. He wants us to experience his peace. to stop arguing with God and his people, to stop fighting against the injustices of life, but to lie down and relax in his love and to experience peace of mind and God's tranquility in our hearts. He also wants us to obey his voice and steer clear of any kind of wickedness which can destroy us from the inside out, and to always seek to do what is right for the sake of the name of Jesus amongst our friends and acquaintances. When horrible things come our way, which threaten and terrify us, he doesn't want us to be afraid, because he's promised to be right there in the midst of it all, with us, directing, comforting, and protecting us. He will honour and bless us as an example to those who hate us and who want to see us failing in every way. And he's placed a seal upon us, and he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And he promises us that because he's with us throughout our lives, we will experience the goodness of God and have an assurance that his mercy towards us triumphs over his judgments against us. Ultimately, we're going to live with him forever in his holy city, in an environment of love and joy and peace, with unimaginably wonderful things to occupy us as we praise God's holy name together forever. What an amazing revelation David had of the Good Shepherd 3,000 years ago. But that revelation is bang up to date today and is a source of comfort and peace to so many thousands, millions, who've come to an end of their own strivings and anxieties. Let's try and rest in God's loving care. Father, we love you and we seek to follow you. You know us inside out, and yet you love us despite our flakiness in so many things. You want us to prosper in everything you've given us to do. And as we seek you and follow you, you will work these things out for us. You so much want us to obey you and put you first in everything we think and say and do. How can we respond with anything other than praise and gratitude? Thank you, Lord, for your constant goodness towards us, even when we go through dark periods in our lives. Help us to see the wonder of who you are more clearly, as David the psalmist did. Amen.